What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
Yep, and we are back for episode 125. Yes, 125. That's always a cool thing when I think of, like, we've been doing this for over 100 episodes. It's just pretty cool because most people don't last that long when it comes to podcasting. Yeah. And the fact that we're getting more listeners as opposed to less listeners is a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. Shout out to all the people who have recently subscribed. You're awesome. And people who are talking about us on Twitter and some of the other social media places about the content and stuff that we talk about. We appreciate you. It's been a bit of a week, and in terms of just like lifing and whatnot, which is why you might not have seen certain things pop up as regularly as they have been. I mean, kind of like we've been on the grind since January, just like stuff going down, and whether it be reviews that I've posted or the podcast and whatnot, just kind of going. And so wanted to continue to do that, but sometimes things happen. You know what I'm saying? But in the midst of that, some good things happened. For instance, I got to take my kids to see the new Mario movie. The Super Mario Galaxy film. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more so than the first one. However, like the first one, it's not really good. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. But this brings us to our first topic of the night. And as you know, we're going to roll through some of these pretty quickly because, again, life be life, and we have other things going on. So we're not going to, you know, take up too much of your time. But it brings us to our first topic, which is, do children deserve nice things? And that sounds like a loaded question, right? Because obviously they do. They're people. They're humans, right?
Just small ones.
At the same time, when you, yeah, they're small. They're just smaller. You know, they're not as smart. They're a little bit more ignorant of life and, you know, because they haven't experienced a whole lot depending on the age, and also their level of, you know, what entertains them. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, a knock, knock joke goes a long way with them. Right. And so, you know, peekaboo classic. And so, but at the same time, depending on what you're talking about, what you feel is good for them at any given moment varies. And so I want to break this into two different things, because obviously they deserve nice things, right? But I want to break this down into two smaller or sub questions, right? The first thing is we have to define what is nice to us. So in terms of the nice things, and I'm talking about media, not like food. Obviously you would give them healthy and whatnot, or if it's Halloween, you give them candy, right? But I mean, like, in terms of media. And I'll give you an example, because the way people, you know, are talking about this Mario movie, it's like, because it's a Mario film, you can't say anything bad about it. And the expectations are, you know, the bar is set in hell type stuff. And we already talked about this. I mean, it's true. And we talked about this in a previous podcast where we were asking the question of, can family friendly or kid media be criticized? Like when we talked about the Minecraft movie. And so, what is nice? There's layers or levels to this, right? For instance, Bluey, critically acclaimed, everybody, for the most part, universally loved, child-friendly show, right? However, there's Caillou, right? I don't really like Caillou. He's annoying and just gets on my nerves, and you know what I mean? And if you let the internet tell it, none of y'all like this little nigga either. So, at any given moment on Twitter, there's a meme about how much people do not like Caillou, right? It's just type in his name and it's nothing but bad things, I promise you, right? And so obviously there's a hierarchy to this, you know, and I can go further back, but I think those are two solid examples of nice and nice, because Caillou isn't a bad show. Like, in all, you know, all jokes aside, it's not a bad show. It's actually good for kids to watch. It's wholesome, if you will, but we don't like it. We don't like it, but everyone likes Bluey. And so obviously there are levels to what's nice, right? So And then on the next question, or the next sub question would be, or what I have observed is it, what is nice is based on what you're into, right? For instance, if you're really into video games and you have a child who you want to show them video games, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, unless they're like really, really small and you just need them to like sit still while you in a meeting or something, mm-hmm. you don't give them mobile games. Right. Like, because you're like, oh, just play Candy Crush until I get out of this meeting. For the most part, though, if you want to buy them a game for Christmas or their birthday, you try to get them a age appropriate, but, you know, good, what you deem good game. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't give them like, I don't want to say any names, but like, you know, the bad licensed whatever, you know, whether it's the Burger King game that came out like 20 years ago or whatever, right? Like, you don't give them that. You give them, I don't know, Spider-Man, or you give them maybe the SpongeBob game if it's good. I don't know if it's good. I haven't played it. You don't, you pick out something that you think will be good for them and is age appropriate. Just because it's age appropriate doesn't mean that you think it's a good game, whether it's manipulative, you know, it could be potentially harmful. In terms of like microtransactions and stuff like that, there's a reason why my kids don't play Roblox. That, you know, just an example, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are levels, right? So my question is, you know, it's kind of twofold in the sense of, do kids deserve nice things? How do we determine this? Because I feel like my kids deserve nice things. And just because they will sit through anything doesn't necessarily make it okay or good. Mm-hmm. Good is a solid word there, right? Again, Bluey, Caillou. We love you. We don't like your punk ass. You know what I'm saying?
Like, everybody hates him. They're like, what's up? Who was it? Is it, was it John Oliver? Who was it? They kept making fun of him. They're like,
Oh, yeah, John Oliver. Yeah,
it's John Oliver. He doesn't trust him. He's like, do you have cancer and you're 4? Like, what is happening to you? There's so right? many things. I'm like, right? Oh my God, what Caillou do to anybody?
Yes, it's we just don't rock with him like that, you know? And so in the sense of like, so when we talk about like Mario and people are like, we're like, it doesn't really have a plot. It's a cameo machine. It's, you know, one action event to, you know, after the other, you know, people are like, what do you expect? You know, Shakespeare? And it's like, no, why did you go that far out? Do you give your kids Shakespeare? Like,
right.
Romeo and Juliet is on the nightstand? Is that's what you got for them? Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
But you think that there's a hierarchy because you don't like Caillou. And I'm pretty sure there's other, you know, you rather have, you know, I mean, do you want Sesame Street or do you want Blue's Clues? Do you want Barney? Do you want the Muppet Babies? Do you want, like, there's
Muppet
Babies. In a sense of like.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. We don't rock with, I'm not a fan of Barney at all. But like, there's a hierarchy and you know it. Right. So I'm like, I'm really confused on why. I'm not confused. I think what it is people have made Mario their entire being. And if you say anything negative about it, it has, you know, a problem. And that goes back to my second point in a sense of like, it's based on what you like, because you like Mario. You are such a big Mario fan. You've played played with Mario since a kid. So now anything Mario drops that isn't complete garbage, you're like, you cannot criticize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me back to my question. Do kids deserve nice things? Do they?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there has to be, you know, and this is outside of like, for instance, there's a lot of shows on Netflix where it's like, okay, this, you know, they'll have like what parents should know type stuff. And it'll be like, this show deals with, or this show has scary monsters, or, you know, people, you know, they have like, there's a Common Sense Media has this thing where they review stuff and they'll go, you know, just so you know, one person drinks alcohol in the film, or one person has, you know, there's potty humor in the film, or, you know, some comical violence or whatever. Like, they'll tell you those things because based on your kids' parameter, like what you think is good and is okay for them to watch at whatever given age, you'll decide. And so some people think it's okay for them to watch a certain film, whereas other parents not so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that should also go into the quality of what it is you're watching, you know? And it's not like we don't have good things. I said this before. It's like you forgot that there's a Pixar. You forgot that there's a Disney, a DreamWorks. You forgot that all these things exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're allowed to, the kids are allowed to have nice things. But I want people to ask that question. Like, what is nice to you? What do you think is good quality, whatever? What is the bar for that even? You know, is it as long as it's like not offensive, is it okay for them to watch?
No.
And then is your aversion to criticism, is it based on something that you identify with so strongly that you don't like it when people say things aren't whatever, you know?
Right.
Because I think it's weird. I know you don't have kids, but is there anything is there anything that you like that if someone has a negative criticism of it, you're kind of taken aback? Like, of course this is good. Everyone should like it. Like, for instance, we love Speed Racer, the live action, right?
Right.
I know a lot of people don't like it, but I never felt a way about them not liking it. You know what I mean?
Right. I totally know what you mean. I'm so objective. I really, really am. And it's kind of ridiculous, but I really, really am. Like, I don't know why I'm like this, but I am, because I have that weird ability to kind of like boil things down to their components. And so if there's something that I truly like and truly love, and I'm just like, I'm all about it. If somebody says, you know, oh, I didn't like blah, 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 I'll be like, okay, valid. I'm not saying that they're always valid, but I can sit here and say, okay, here's a good example. Street Fighter is a terrible movie, but Jean-Claude Van Damme is in it and he's kicking high. Okay. You know, like, I can say that, you know, like, I have a friend who has been on the cast. Okay. She has visited and she loves like Transporter movies. Okay. And she loves movies where things are blowing up. Okay. And I'm like, wonderful. She hates The Matrix. There is no spoon. She cannot. She's like, I cannot do this. I have no idea what's happening. You know, this is too much for me. So stick her with Jason Statham. Okay. And she's happy and fine. Were there six explosions in this film? Absolutely. And the thing is, that's how she is, because that's how her brain works. She's not following the plot of The Matrix.
Right.
She's not doing that. She's not following Inception. She said, what? One building moved in Inception. She's like, who, what? They were in a dream whole time. Okay. So, right. Me, on the other hand, like, I am, again, like, I can be really, really objective. I can sit here and say, okay, you know, like, Transporter. Okay. I could be like, this is silly. Oh, no, hold on. Her favorite series in the entire world is Fast and Furious. Okay. I can sit here and tell you.
Okay. Okay.
This is stupid. This is terrible, but this is great action and very entertaining. Okay. Like, they drove a car through a building. They literally drove cars through skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My point in saying this is that I can be very objective. So, and make fair criticisms, even if it's something that I truly, truly like, love. But I also feel like the things that I truly love are objectively amazing. And therefore, I have to question your intelligence if you have an issue with said thing. Okay, I'm like, valid criticisms and valid, you know, arguments will be accepted. I'm okay with that. So Sesame Street is thebomb.com, and nobody can say nothing. I ride for Sesame Street. But if Sesame Street had some random episode that was actually like ridiculous and actually racist, I'd be like, Streets of the Sesames. I'm like, that's
right.
That, anyway, so yeah, my point is that if the Mario movie is trash, just kind of like, what, wasn't the Roblox movie trash? Wasn't the, how many of these little
things for youngins was trash.
Well, it depends. It depends on how far you go back. But and to say Mario wasn't trash, it just wasn't good either. It was it was the Fast and the Furious. It was entertaining. I had a good time. We laughed and whatnot. But if I was being critical, it just doesn't have the elements that make a good movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like when you think of good film, you think of plot.
Not everything can be characters. Toy Story, I guess.
Right. You know what I mean? Like you think of, you know, even just the making sense of it all and why we're doing the things that we're doing. It's like, it's a roller coaster, but yeah, not this, just not a lot of substance. There's very, very little substance. And right. we have plenty of films that have substance that are really, really good.
Yeah. Heck,
even cause this is Illumination did this. And Illumination has done this before. They have had good films. Despicable Me, the first one was actually pretty good. In terms of like character growth and actual plot and things happening that make sense, you know. So it's not like they're not capable of it. And there's like hints of it in the film. I think Nintendo was like, hey, we don't need to be deep. Just show Mario jumping on people and we're good. I think that's what happened. Because there are some cool like father son, you know, drama. There is some cool sibling things that just they're hinted at and they go away. And it's a shame because I think it would have been a better film. And it still was also crazy is that because people are like, you know, it's all about the video game elements. And I'm like, you could have all this stuff and still have a good plot. Like you could still because you're just because the way that they're doing it is just cameos. Like
yeah, it's just a live video.
You can
game.
Just yeah, it's like, you know, they'll pull someone from one of the old video games, Mario 2 pops up and they're like in a club and then they get into a fight or whatever. And it's like you could still have this scene with a better plot. Like this doesn't hinder you from that.
Yeah.
Because the way you're inserting them anyways, just insert them into a good plot.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
But, it's not.
Know, I just think it's hilarious that people are so gung-ho about or being so upset about critics when it's like the fact that I'll look at a tweet, right? Before we move on, and the person will be like, I had a great time. No, they had a great time. They took their family to see it or whatever. And then they'll go, you know, and yeah, I know that, you know, there's no character development and there's no real plot and there's just a bunch of cameos. And it's like a long laundry list of stuff that's bad.
Wow.
And then they'll go, but it's still amazing. What did you expect? It's a kid's movie about a video game. And I'm like,
no.
I expected half of those to be decent, though.
Right.
Like
you know yeah, I mean? Like I still like, expected.
I'm a
movie.
Big Mario fan. Yeah, a decent film. It like family friendly doesn't have to be. And then it was also cool because I would see people listing like a bunch of films that fit in that category that actually worked well. And I'm like, hey, look at all these. Look at that. There's examples right here. Anywho, speaking of social media potentially harming people's mental health. Let that marinate a little bit. I saw a story on AP.
Please watch our videos.
Yes. I saw a story on AP about Meta being sued. Now, Meta's been sued multiple times as of late. One of the suits had to do with them not protecting children in a sense of like, you know, there was like a exploitation or like sexual harassment, like stuff like that. And YouTube was under fire about that too, as well, a few years ago. And so that was like an open and shut, like, yeah, obviously they're in trouble for that. But the one that I actually piqued my interest for this particular podcast was how the states are suing Meta in a claim that the platform it has are addictive and harmful to children's mental health. Some of this, and the reason why I bring this up is because I think that I'm torn on how I feel about the suit. On one hand, I feel like this is a good thing. And it's mainly when I get to the basis of how they go about protecting consumers. So one of the things that they brought about was that the social media, in order for you to have the social media platform, they have to have safety guards put into place. So for instance, if you're under the age of 18 on TikTok, you have to have, there's a default 60-minute time limit. and then it shuts it down and you have to like re-log in. And it's like, it's supposed to kind of help someone who's just, you know, are at the early stages of mental development. Like they don't want you to be on social media and, you know, to that extent. Right. And there's other safeguards like that built in. You know, if you're under 13, you can't even get an account. But then the suit goes on to say that, well, obviously kids can kind of get around this. Like it's not that hard to, for them to get around a ban and all this other stuff. What bothered me though, was one of the lines in the article that I wrote, or I read, was that the children were able to get around the ban and they say with or without their parents' consent. And many younger kids have social media accounts. That part I feel like falls on the parent. And I know that you can't necessarily police everything that your child does, but I feel like this isn't a, if Meta actually put those things in to protect children, then I don't think it is on them if your child gets makes an account and puts in the wrong age, or they're secretly have it on their phone and you don't know about it. You know what I mean? Like I feel a way about some of this. And this has been trickling down to other places. For instance, Discord recently changed their permissions where if you're under 18, or even if you're over 18, you have to actually sign in and show like your ID or something, I think.
Yeah.
And to be able to have all the features that Discord had previously, which I think is, and I was like, where is this coming from? And it's because of lawsuits like this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, dude, this is like, I get the idea of being addictive to teenagers and especially young, they were talking about teenage girls and body image issues and stuff like that. Totally understand it. And the stuff that they're talking about where they're like Meta didn't do, where they like, there's certain things that they're supposed to have feature wise by law that they don't have. And I'm like, yes, take them to court, take them to task on that. They have to have those safeguards in. But when they go in, then they say that kids are easily able to get around these safeguards. Is it the safeguards themselves or is it Meta's problem? Because if the law says that Meta cannot allow kids that are under the age of 16 get a TikTok account or whatever account, right? And they do that, they tell you to put your age in, and they have some type of verification system to verify that you are who you say you are, and kids are finding ways around that, then I don't think it's on Meta. I think it's on the law. You need to change the ruling then. Like, hey, this isn't strong enough anymore. You guys need to have these features now, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just being like, we're going to sue you. And please understand that I'm not caping for Meta. I don't care about Meta. Like, they have way more money than I'll ever have. You know, but the idea that like some of this stems from when I worked at T-Mobile, customer care rep, and we would have parents call in and they'll be like, hey, you know, my kid, bought all this stuff on, you know, through their apps or whatever. And, you know, there'll be things that come up where the company like Google or Apple, had to put in safety measures to make sure kids can't accidentally buy stuff where, you know, and whatnot. Right. But at this level, it was like, hey, they found a way to bypass it. After you told them no, they found a way to bypass it. So it's not on Google anymore. Now you're calling the phone company. And we're like, all right, you know what? Don't even worry about it. We're going to help you out. We're going to credit some of the stuff back to you. And what we'll do is we'll just remove the feature from the phone. And then the parent goes, wait, I don't want to do that. I want them to still have the ability to purchase things. And I go, okay, so you know, going forward, if they buy stuff without your permission, we're not crediting that back to you. And they get all upset. And I'm like,
yeah.
At some point, you have to be like, you can put in all the safety features you want.
Right.
But if the kid is still able to do it, like if they're just tech savvy or they put your stuff in, you know, they get your password and everything, it's on you at that point. Like, take your kid's phone away. Like, I feel like the parents don't want to do that anymore. Like, it's, and like I said, I get it. You can't police people's children. You can't police your kids all. Like, they're not in jail when they're with you. They're humans. They deserve nice things. But I feel like some of this is on the parent. Like, I really do.
Agreed.
Like my kids, like I have a child who has a cell phone, who she does not have a Facebook account. She does not have a TikTok account. she doesn't see any value in it currently. And no, and I know our situation is unique. I'm not trying to say that my situation is everybody's situation, but if that was the case and there were some problems, I would just take it. Like, I'm a little bit more, at least maybe it's the age range. Like, I am millennial that's pretty tech savvy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can kind of see, I have it set up to even where, like if they're playing on the Switch and I can see what games they play, because it'll send it to the parent app and I can be like, oh, you played this game for an hour. If they're like, you know, I only played it like for 10 minutes. I'm like, nope, no, you didn't. It's right here for an hour. So, you know what I mean? And so I can kind of like be more hands on. And I feel like the buck is being passed over to the company.
Yeah.
This is outside of the, you know, them not, you know, staying within regulations or them having, because they did say that Meta uses functionality and features that are specifically designed to be addictive. That is something that I talked about when it came to gaming and microtransactions and how they'll actually program stuff to make it enticing. Like, you think of a Candy Crush, you've been playing this game for however long, and it's made to be easy early on, so you can collectively have whatever it is that you're supposed to be collecting, and then you'll get to a roadblock, and they're like, oh, or you can struggle or wait for like a 2-day wait period to come back and do this, or you can pay me a dollar. And it's like, you're already invested. You know, you feel like you're going to waste time if you don't spend this dollar. It's manipulative on purpose. All the stuff that Meta is doing for that specific functionality, you know, in terms of making money, totally get them for that. But in the areas where they're actually adhering to the law, I don't think they should be sued for that. And I think this is bad because if it doesn't go through, this lawsuit doesn't go through because of those technicalities, you're going to get other companies off the hook who are actually, or even Meta, for doing the really damaging stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's from what I can read, and maybe I'm wrong, it's the suit is grouped together. Like, it's not a, like, we're suing you for this and for this. It's like, no, this is the lawsuit and this is what we're talking about. And they have the stuff that's like, feature-wise, these are bad. And they have the stuff that I feel like should not be in the lawsuit at all. And if it loses because of the, if the lawyers can argue this rinky-dink stuff, you could potentially lose the case. You know what I mean? And that's a weird, like, that's, it's a weird spot to be in because I don't want to cape for Meta at all.
Yeah.
But I think that you should put your best foot forward. And I also think that some of this is, so you need to be a parent. Like, it is what it is. You need to be a parent. And if you see that this is harmful for your kid, then do whatever you have to do to make it less so. This, you know, but I don't know, what are your thoughts on this Meta stuff? Or
I just want,
you know, social media in general.
Crash and burn and crash and crash and burn
well,
and
there
burn
you
and
go.
Crash and like go up in flames. I don't care at this point, like, because after all the things that they've done, this is one of those things where no, objectively, I will not sit on the right. I will not sit on the right side of, hey, we shouldn't, maybe we shouldn't try to sue you guys for things that you're not responsible for. Fuck you. You can get sued for everything. You can get sued for the fact that I hit a pothole 2 years ago. Fuck you. Okay. And I haven't even hit I wasn't even driving when I hit that pothole, because I don't drive no more. I haven't driven for 5 years. So that pothole, Meta, that's on you. Okay? That's your shit. You the reason that pothole's there. Fuck you. And your couch.
Oh, snap. Shout out to Tess for the deep dive on the Meta situation.
So surface. Fuck you and your shit. Like, nah, man, because they have done so much evil in this world. I cannot even bring myself to agree that, oh, hey, maybe, you know, they're not responsible for this. No, you're responsible for everything. Okay? Everything is your fault. Seriously, everything is their fault. 2016 is their fault.
I'm not mad at it. Not mad at it.
It is their fault. COVID's their fault, for crying out loud. Okay? It's their fault. All right, they're the ones who got us into this mess. They're the ones who messed with the election. They're the one who got the orange guy in office. Fuck them. It's all their fault. So I hope they burn. And I hope they lose every lawsuit they're ever involved in. Fuck them and burn. And I know people will be like, well, you know, the one good thing about Facebook is the marketplace. She used Depop. I don't know. Do a flea market. Things the normal way. I can't stand them. I can't. I really, really can't. I remember 2008. Facebook was a great way to find all the people that I went to high school with, hadn't talked to for years. Pretty awesome.
Right.
And then it morphed into the terrible thing that it became. I do not have a Facebook account. Okay. Hermione has a Facebook account that she doesn't use because she doesn't have thumbs. But like I got off of that thing, I don't even remember how long ago. And I cannot for the life of me, I can't bring myself to say it. There are things, I know it. There are things that are that parents really need to get it together. Okay. I watch Abbott Elementary too. Parents need to get it together. Okay. You cannot just use the TV and the iPad and the phones, okay, tablets and things to babysit your kids.
And right.
At the same time, it is hard. Childcare is out of control, expensive. Food's expensive. Everything's expensive. And it's hard. Life is hard out here. It is. Okay. But you cannot have these 8-year-olds on these things pretending to be 15. Okay. Watch your kids. You have to pay attention. They're kids. They're kids. They're... Their youth is so important. Like every
your
stage
responsibility.
Of just being a child. Yes, here your responsibility. This is why I can't. I mean, I don't even have a skin baby. I have a fur baby, but she is my responsibility and no one else's.
Right.
So it is. I'm just saying. I question things too. I really do when I see parents doing certain things or know of parents who are doing certain things. I'm like, you do realize that I get it. Lots of kids have phones now because you need to reach them. But I just, and I am glad there's other situations that where you are happy that your kid has a mobile device, okay? Being able to film things that are happening, you know, being able to quickly reach out and say, hey, shit's going down in my school right now. Like, legit, hey, we're getting shot up. And that mama walks right into that school, grabs her babies by the neck and walks out because the cops were too afraid to do something. You know, get it. I totally understand. I get the idea that you want to be able to contact your kids all the time. And the world has changed. We can compare the world to the way it was when we were young and be like, you know, we didn't have mobile devices. If somebody needed to reach us, they called the office.
Right.
And the office sends an unpaid temporary worker, which is typically somebody's sick child that didn't go to school that day, or, you know, some person who had a week off of college and needed, you know, some, I don't know, internship points. And send that person up to the whatever classroom and say, hey, so-and-so's mom is on the phone for so-and-so. You left your lunch at home. I mean, it may have taken 17 different people to get the message to you. But, you know, the message to Garcia was already always going to be relayed. So I get it. We did grow up in a little bit of a different time. But two things can be true. Parents need to pay more attention to what their kids are doing, have more control over what their kids are doing, and Meta sucks.
Yes, yes. I would say that before you expounded, it reminded me of that Family Guy where they would cut to the guy from the weather. He'd be like, so yeah, tell us what's the weather looking like? He's like, it looks hot, man. Back to you. But yeah, it's I think people need to be more mindful of it. And I get it in the sense of like older or people who just don't know. Like if you don't know what a TikTok is, And so you don't understand what is happening with that. That is never an excuse for me, because like I'm gonna be like, okay, what is it? Show me. Let me see what people do with this thing. I'm not gonna be like, oh, that's just the thing that the kids do. I'm like, no, like tell me what it is. Like,
yeah,
I don't have a TikTok. I don't want one, but I know what it is and I know what's on TikTok.
Yeah.
And that's outside of my kids potentially want to do anything with it. I just know.
Right.
And so if they wanted it, I'm like, no, like what is in it? Who has access to you? Who do you have access to? You know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah, you kind of have to be on it, especially if you're finding out, because this is not something, this is, you know, studies was being done and people have been talking about it. Parents are being more aware of, but it's after the fact, right? It's after something terrible has happened that they're like, oh, maybe the social media was bad. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, you kind of left them to their own device. And this is, you know, and I'm not saying, in a sense of like, because you know, I think like the equivalent like back in the day for overprotective parents was like reading your kid's journal or something.
Yeah.
I don't recommend doing any of the sort. What I'm saying is though that when it becomes a public thing, because this is public, this isn't like a private diary situation. This is a public thing that they're doing with other people publicly. And so, you need to be in on it. Like, hey, I need to be, if you're going to even have this thing, I need to be on your friends list. Like, I need to be like something to where I'm like, okay, I'm monitoring what's going on. Because you could be talking to someone who you think is a kid who's actually an adult. Like, there's so much that goes on that you aren't aware of. So, come on, people. Get together.
Get it together.
And speaking of being on phones and just, you know, and devices, if you will, I wanted to ask a question. Are people still okay with their digital future? And what I mean by that is the a lot of the rumblings that I've been hearing online is that, you know, the future is all digital. You're not going to own your video games. You're not going to own your films. It's going to be all stream-based, subscription-based, licensed-out-based. Like we've seen over the past however many years, but it's going to be everything. Like Best Buy no longer has a DVD section type ish. And so we have seen how that has backfired where, let's say, for instance, there was a product that came out a while back that was, you can use your phone to turn on your lights in your house. Think about the clap on, clap off situation, but just all digitally, you know, set up on your phone using software. Well, that software actually, that company went under and there was no more updates, but they were still being sold. Like if you, at that time, you could go on Amazon, you could still buy it. And when you got it though, it no longer worked. And so you didn't have access to those features anymore. So you had to turn on your lights the old-fashioned way, but if you're depending on how you had your house hooked up, you might not be able to turn your lights on.
Exactly.
And so that was a thing. But then there's also like you bought a movie on iTunes or whatever, you buy a movie, a digital film, you have the license to, and then the company loses the license, so they're like, you no longer have access to that film, but they don't refund you either. It's just you just don't have it, and it's in the fine print. There was also the thing with Bruce Willis years ago where he was like, he had a vast music collection that he had bought on, I think it was iTunes actually. And he wanted to leave it to his kids, you know, when he died. And they were like, you can't do that. You can't transfer the license. He's like, I don't understand. I bought this. And like, he just didn't understand it. And people, there was a big, you know, whatever about it. And that has since passed. And we are currently still moving towards the all digital future. This latest wrinkle has to do with Amazon. I was reading on IGN, shout out to Tom Phillips, where he talks about how Amazon, the Kindle, Amazon Kindle devices are going to be basically deactivated or downgraded to the point of not being able to buy new books. Amazon is in the process of contacting owners of Kindle devices released back in 2012 and earlier to tell them that your e-reader's functionality will be downgraded as of May 20th. At that point, it will be no longer possible to add new books to existing accounts. Owners will still be able to access their existing book libraries as long as their account is registered to the device. But after May 20th, these older Kindles will not be able to be used at all by any future users. So you can't sell them to anybody. I mean, you can, but they won't be able to use them. And you can't register a new account either. You know, essentially, you like if you do a factory reset, it's basically a paperweight. And This impacts Kindle devices, Kindle first edition, second generation models, the Kindle DX, Kindle DS Graphite, Kindle Keyboard, Touch, all that good stuff. And so the owners are kind of upset about it. Now, some people, when you hear that, they're going to be like, well, why not? I mean, it's 2012. You should upgrade and get a new Kindle and whatnot. You know, you do that for phones. The difference between Kindles and phones is that the Kindle is basically a reader. It is a digital newspaper. It's a digital book. All you're doing is pulling up your book and reading it in black and white. That is it. Very little functionality. They do have the Kindle Fire and all these other models that have a little bit more. You know, I think some of them you can even watch Netflix on, but that's not what they're for. They're mainly to read books because of Amazon's whole book thing, you know, with the audio books and stuff like that. And so they don't really need any bells and whistles. They don't even need any updates. All they need is access to Amazon's library, the ability to buy new books. They all will format it in the way that they should be. You don't have to update it. That's why they're still working. I don't think there's any phone from 2012 that works the way you want it to work, right? Because it needs updates. That's not the case with this. You just get books. So as long as it functions, it should function. Amazon is actively telling people that it will not function the way it should function as of May 20th, and that you will have to get a new Kindle. Here's the thing with that. The new Kindles, based on what's being said here, have things like adverts, and you know they're hooked up to They're hooked up to the internet in the sense of like, or not the internet, but Amazon's umbrella, so they can try to sell you things. Like this new potential model is going to be able to have adverts, probably for books or other things that you can buy or whatever, and to be able to push certain updates towards you, potentially alter your experience to make you want to get a new Kindle. All these things are under this umbrella. And we've kind of seen this before. We've seen this with, like, again, with the telephones or cell phones rather, where let's say Apple wants you to get a new iPhone and they're like, hey, we're not going to update this, the previous one. And that's fine. If you want to keep it, but certain apps will not work properly because they're going to be upgraded to the newer version of whatever the case may be. The problem with that is that usually that update doesn't require any, like, it's not a, how do you say it? The update for the app to work properly via the new OS is only so it doesn't cause any issues, but there's nothing in there that should make it cause an issue outside of it just being an old OS. Similarly to the Kindle, in the sense that all we're doing is reading books on it, there's no update that you have that would nullify its ability to do this because all it is reading books. I hope that makes sense for the people in the back. Like, it's doing a basic, it's like having a calculator. And and in order to add and subtract, you now have to have an update, which makes no sense because there's an add and subtract button on the freaking calculator. And so it's like, I can't read books on my Kindle anymore. You know, I can't give it to someone if they want a Kindle. And like, like even the fact that like, oh, I want to get a brand new Kindle. Let me give you my old Kindle.
Right.
Can't do it anymore, you know? And so I think that's interesting because this is the first time. Well, yeah, this is one of the first times where there's no logical reason to upgrade. Like, you could sell somebody on a new phone. You know, new apps need new updates. You know, security software, right? You gotta be secure, you know, even with like, Windows, you know, OS, like it's gotta be secure. We don't want people to hack your computer and all this other stuff. No one's hacking a Kindle. Last time I checked, no one's like, haha, I'm gonna have all these random books that I don't even know if I will like. Yeah.
Imagine. Can you imagine? You know how like they do those things where you steal like a bunch of like small amounts of money from people's bank accounts? Like, can you imagine a Kindle book thief like just walking through the train and like putting some device close to people's bags and saying, I'm going to steal this book. Ooh, this person has. Right? You're like, oh my goodness. They have. What stupid book is out there, you know? And just like, this person is reading Homer. Boring, but I'm going to steal it.
Right, like, The Odyssey? I got to read this before the movie comes out. Who got the Odyssey on their Kindle?
Like, what?
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, other than the fact that Amazon, it's kind of like the light bulb. For people who don't know, like, the light bulb, originally there was a certain point where the light bulbs, they wouldn't go out. Like, you would just have a light bulb, not, I want to say forever, but they would just work, like, all the time. And that posed a problem. Excuse me. Because people stopped buying light bulbs. It's like, oh, I have them. I don't need any new ones. And they so they added a filament that, you know, it's the light bulb is, I want to say it's brighter, but it burns out after a while.
Yeah.
And so you have to buy a new light bulb. And I totally understand that because it's a light bulb, right? It's not expensive and you need light. You know, it's a thing that you need, right? And while it might be kind of a sham, it's also keeping people in business.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon doesn't need the Kindle. I mean, like, if Amazon takes a piece of the money that comes in from books, I don't think they need to make people upgrade to new Kindles.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that you will always have a market for Kindles because people are coming into the digital,
right?
You know, having digital libraries new. Like, for instance, I don't have a Kindle. I have a tablet that I read on, but. The only reason I don't have a Kindle is because it doesn't have certain apps that I also use in conjunction. Like when I read Marvel Unlimited, I don't think that app is actually on the Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be insert the Amazon's umbrella for stuff like that. And I'm glad I didn't. But
yeah.
There are people who are like, you know what? I have a ton of books in my library. I can't, like, you know, moving, if I have to move to another place, that's such a headache carrying all these books. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy myself a Kindle. They're not going to go and get the old one. They're going to like, oh, this is cool because they're not that expensive. I'm going to get this new one. It looks nice and shiny and it has the specs that I want. Boom. Mm-hmm. I'll just port my library on this thing. So there's going to be, there's always going to be a market for it for the most part.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't think you should make your people like upgrade to new Kindles if they're having a good time and they're still buying books, like they're still purchasing books.
Yeah.
Like, unless you don't get a cut at all, then I mean, that's kind of on you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? But outside of that, like, I think it should be fine. Like, I don't think you should have to upgrade.
Yeah.
Especially considering everything else is constantly upgrading and it's, or the price of stuff is going up. Amazon's Prime has gone up. There's no longer 4K for the premium, like it's like an extra premium, and the ad tier went up as well, and then Netflix went up, Disney Plus went up, like everybody's going up in price.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in line with that, but I just think this is the silliest version of it, and it shows us that, you know, maybe physical media is a little bit better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I agree. Just physical media was always nice. I mean, I know I've moved a lot in the last 2 years, and my books are just stuck in these boxes, and I have a sentimental attachment to my books, so I don't think of it as like, oh, I gotta lug these books around. Like, I don't know, I paid movers,
right?
I'm not using my hands, my back to like, what the hell?
You want me to hold my own book? What are you talking about?
What? Excuse you? That's what you hauls for. Ew. But I do have, I have a Kindle app. I never bought a Kindle because I bought a Nook all these years ago.
Right.
And I have the Nook Simple Touch. I was so proud of it when I bought it. And it's so cute, and it fits so cute in those little book hold, those sleeves, you know?
Yeah.
I had this super, super cute Kate Spade. I think it was like the first Kate Spade thing I ever owned. Is this super adorable Kate Spade jacket for my Simple Touch Nook. And like I said, I moved around a lot, so a lot of things have been in boxes. And for the past year, everything has been in boxes because I haven't had my own place until just recently, until February. And so I finally, like 2 weeks ago, opened the box that had my e-reader in it. So happy. Took it out, put it on charger. I was like, yay, it works. I'm so excited. And of course, because your girl here, your girl who is obsessed with Interview with Vampire, decided that I was going to download some bigs, and I went ahead and got Vampire Chronicles. So I'm trying to read the Vampire Lestat, because hello, love me some Brat Lestat. And I can't download this book. And my nook keeps saying, can't connect to the internet. Girl, you on the internet. I see you. I see your bars. You like, on
see,
my
I
internet.
I seen it. I seen it.
Come on now. Try disguising those little bars better, but I can see them. And I know the name of my Wi-Fi. And you want it, ho? So I'm like, how are you going to sit here and tell me you can't connect to the internet? Connect to the internet and download this book. What's wrong with you? I'm so perturbed. I do not understand what's happening. I'm trying to read on my little cute little nook with my little cute Kate Spade little book jacket. And then I have to go to the internet and say, did the old nook not work no more? And then there's this whole thing. It's like, oh, by the way, if you have a nook that was from this year and on, basically, if you haven't had a nook since, I don't remember what the year was, then yeah, they're all bricks. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah. And they said that you have to crack them. You have to go to some website, download some manuals. You can crack them because there was no updates anymore. They're like, oh yeah, you have to use, you can't do online updates. Like you can't just download them via Wi-Fi. You have to, they said, side port them. And it's like, so you really, you actually have to put a, you know, cable in, connect to your computer, download some software, upgrade some firmware, do a whole bunch of stuff that normal people can't do.
Right.
And they're like, it's basically like, I mean, they were talking about, you know, people have to deregister their device and then download this thing, and I'm not doing all that, okay? Because
it's a lot to read a book.
It's a lot to read some books, you know. And I'm like, I have books on there already, so those books are never going to go anywhere, and I can continue to read the books that are on there. But I can't download anything else that I didn't download onto that nook, you know. And it's just kind of upsetting because I'm like, when you buy something like that, the intention is to keep it for as long as it physically holds. Like it's not broken, it's right. not cracked. You know, why would it be? Because it's typically something that sits on your nightstand, just like the book you're reading. You know, most people right. like to read before bed, things like that. So it sits on your nightstand. I'm not dropping it everywhere. I'm not taking it. I'm not bullying it. I'm not spilling coffee on it like you do a book sometimes. It's an easy thing. It's an easy piece of technology to take care of. And it really shouldn't right. need very many updates at all. Like, okay, there's sometimes some software update for the simple fact that the sales platform changed, you know, right. the sales platform changed. So maybe it's like, okay, well, the way you access, because the Nook also connects to the store.
Right.
And so
right.
therefore, and you have to, you know, save your credit card information. And so some of those things, like we understand, but those are typically small, like, you know, software updates and firmware updates. But, you know, they're not hardware updates, they're firmware updates. So you should be able to continue to use this piece of technology into the future. It holds. It really does.
Right.
It's not something you only update it if you're a bibliophile and then the new and improved thing came out and you're like, oh my goodness, I want it because it's shiny. Oh my goodness, I want it because it's a different shape. Oh my goodness, I right. want it because it adds a feature. I want it because it's easier to get a book from the library or something, or it's easier, or I can share books easier. I can share books with NFC now versus having to go through OverDrive or something, you know, something like that. And those things are understandable, but that also is at the choice of the consumer. Like right. the consumer is getting a choice to say, I want to upgrade for these reasons, but not you bricking their shit.
Right.
Hey.
gotta give it to my agency. You gotta make man. No, you should fucking read. We're being so unproblematic, sitting in our flannels, drinking the wine like a fucking millennial should, because we're all depressed and alcoholics. And then you want to brick our fucking shit that we paid good money. Look, I was really proud of myself for getting that cake years ago. Okay. I didn't have money. I was proud of myself. It's a reminder of where I came from and how far I have not come. Still broke. Cannot afford a new one. Why do you think I'm so upset this one doesn't work no more? And I have to listen to Vampire Lestat on my Audible. And I can't read along because I don't got nothing to read it on except my phone. And it's too much blue light. I like my newspaper reader.
Right? Just, you know what I mean? Like, just all for the sake of money. All for the sake of money. You know? It's the light bulb all over again because it's you made it this way. You built this thing. That was the selling point.
Legit.
That was the selling point. Like, I can use this like a book. It just has multiple books. And as long as you don't break it, it should be fine. Legit. And the updates for this to be able to connect to the store totally makes sense. But to just arbitrarily be like, you know what?
Right.
No more. Shout out to everyone that's been hanging out with us. This will be the what is it? The what do you call it? I totally lost my train of thought. This is the
we're talking about ads.
Dang it, I had a funny joke and now it's gone. Oh man. You know what? I'm just gonna cut this part out. Speaking of ads, if you've been listening to this podcast on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're listening on, you know, iTunes or Spotify, wherever the case may be, feel free to subscribe there and, you know, add to your RSS feeds, all that good stuff. But if you could, even if you are listening over there, if you could go over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button, that would help us out a lot. We're trying to build the number over there. Collectively, because there's a lot of cool stuff that we're doing over there that we want you to see and kind of be a part of. Like, for instance, our film and television review. I've done a bunch of film reviews up there. Some of them are blown up-ish. They're not really blowing up, but they're blow-up-shuating a little bit, kind of. And so in order to facilitate that, we need you to subscribe. So I'm definitely going to be talking about that a little bit more on all the different platforms and whatnot. So that would be awesome. And then, you know, feel free to share with your friends and your enemies. You know, we don't discriminate over here, right? But yeah, we have a lot of cool stuff planned. And, you know, we want your feedback. Also, for the people who are, you know, shout out the Ducks. I see you in the comments. You commented on just about every video that we posted in the last few months. Shout out to you. Let us know if you have anything specific that you want us to talk about or to elaborate more on, you know, that we can bring to the next episode. But yeah. That is it for me.
Okay. Well, Hermione would not like to say hi to everybody. She's being very quiet, interestingly enough. Even though she was barking like crazy earlier. Don't know if y'all heard her. But yeah, there she is, still kicking, 14, and still a diva. Princess. So basically, same thing I say every time, y'all. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And yeah, don't be a dick. And wash your hands and your faces and your butts, please. I'm actually like really saying that one because the other day I'm so sure that I interacted with someone twice on two different occasions that I know did not wash their butt. Mm. And it's just so important. It is very important that you wash your butts. Just do it. Please. For the sake of all humankind. Yeah, and that's it. Hope y'all had a great time with us. Bye-bye.